Hi, this is Attorney Dave Derringer, Protective Law Corp in Morro Bay, California. You can find my blog posts at lawnews.tv and this podcast at protect.fm. I'm getting another newsletter out, my September newsletter. Here's some of the headlines. Boy 12 saves father by shooting to stop bear attack. I actually keep a list. I've kept a list for several years of examples of kids who have used firearms to save themselves and family members. Another headline, violent crime soars under Biden-Harris. That's a different story than the media is projecting. Another article, IRS allows late filing of QSST election. That's PLR 2024-8003. That's very important if you have an S-Corp. Make sure that your revocable trust has savings language in it, allowing the trust to qualify as a qualified subchapter S trust. So that it can maintain that S election. Next, Ohio Democrat Senator Sherrod Brown accepted donations from dead women. We can actually do planning to prevent this kind of thing from happening, even possibly prevent you from voting after death. Another headline, California dad fights off mountain lion that dragged 5-year-old son by the head. The kid was injured badly, perhaps injury could have minimized if the father had had a gun, not minimizing the bravery that was showed, but gun might have helped. Another headline, 11-year-old boy confesses to murder of former Louisiana mayor and adult daughter. So this is a reminder that not every attacker looks like Darth Vader. It may be a kid, and you may have to defend yourself by shooting a kid, as horrible as that sounds. Also a good reminder of the importance of incentive planning to raise kids when you can't and bring them up correctly in firearms so that they can save others, like that 12-year-old boy I mentioned first. Another headline, pet trust can protect your pets from inflation, Haitian, Asian threats. So regardless of how you feel about threats to your pet, the economy is bad for pets as well, and when the economy is down, that can result in pets being given up, maybe turning into strays, suffering other risks. So just keep in mind, having a pet trust for a pet that you care deeply about can help to keep that pet comfortable and well cared for. I don't charge anything for including pet trust language. Next article, estate reduction surgery, SLATs, etc., may be urgent. It's very important for large, high net worth estates to get right on the planning, or at least considering it. We can't predict the future. A lot. I do have high net worth couples right now that are holding off because they're just not, they want to see what happens with the election, but you really can't wait to put some of these pieces in order. Some of these strategies, require multiple year implementation, and appraisals have to be lined up. Appraisals are getting busy, so at least start that discussion. Don't wait any longer. Next headline, Democrats use 1865 Black Code to disarm all Californians in 2024. That's the Mavie-Bonta case. I actually have a couple blog posts on this Mavie-Bonta panel decision that came out from the Ninth Circuit about a month ago, and CRPA had a really good motion for en banc rehearing, brought out some good points. They brought out that one of the cases relied on by the Ninth Circuit panel was actually an 1865 Black Code from Louisiana. Shouldn't be used at all, but they actually used that to disarm us here in California in 2024, or at least 2025. Technically, if you look at the ruling, it's a little more complicated. It involves a Hawaii case that was consolidated with a couple of California cases on the vampire rule, specifically a rule that says that even if you're licensed to carry, if you've been licensed and vetted for that, you are guilty of a crime if you walk into a business a business that's open to the public under this change in rule. It's a crime if you walk into a business that hasn't somehow consented to you doing that while armed. And Hawaii's statute allowed for broad means of consent, so the panel was more okay with that rule, so they reversed the injunction as the Hawaii rule. Technically, it was a win for California because the court let the injunction remain in place because it didn't like the fact that our vampire rule only required, only allowed for consent by a particular method, a particular sign. But that's a little bit misleading. It's really a loss because it'd be very easy for Sacramento to correct that legislation, even through emergency legislation, very quickly. My understanding is it probably would not happen before 2025, but it could happen early in 2025, in which case we would effectively be banned. It would no longer be practical to carry concealed, even with a license, if you could not even stop at a gas station to fill up. So that would pretty much end concealed carry in California if they do that, and they could do that if this panel decision is not reversed. So the other, in addition to the Black Code, which is, you know, very shameful that they relied on that, and shocking, they also relied on a colonial New Jersey law that was designed to prevent poaching. So clearly not relevant under criteria that Bruin set, the Supreme Court set in Bruin, very stringent standards for evaluating infringements on the Second Amendment. A very flimsy basis for that vampire rule, a big threat if that's not reversed. The panel also upheld other specific area bans based on the notion of that they're sensitive places. A very broad ban on alcohol, a ban on carrying in any business that serves alcohol, even if it's not a bar where it's where alcohol is the primary business, even if it's just a restaurant that serves alcohol, you can't carry there even with a license, and that is the case right now in California. CRPA's brief pointed out that there were no founding era regulations against carry in taverns, and taverns were very widespread at that time, so it seems pretty clear that that any such ban on carry at taverns, since they were so common at the founding, any such regulation should not be allowed. And the panel brought up some later regulations, latter half of the 19th century, that were just there are a few cases of laws like that, and they were very narrowly applied just to taverns, bars, saloons, that kind of thing, not generally as to any area that where alcohol was served. And then as to parks, the CRPA brief pointed out that there were regulations in particular cities for particular parks. Those regs were not aimed at concealed carry for self-defense. They were aimed at carrying firearms for hunting or just, you know, other discharges which were not self-defense related. And of course, those were very narrow specific parks in urban settings. And this new law, SB2, that the panel is upholding is much more broad. Basically, any even wilderness areas in California, any park of any sort, urban or not urban, wilderness included, is off limits to carry. I can't carry at the beach on my regular runs anymore. So that's even without the vampire rule, these are very serious infringements on carry allowed by the panel. And then the CRPA brief also made a couple other good points, that the extreme extreme vetting of CCW licensees now means that the requirement of comparable burden, comparably justified, that Bruin laid out is not satisfied. Because of the vetting, any you know, in the 19th century, just about anybody could carry openly anywhere. And now to have highly trained, highly vetted CCW licensees barred from carrying in these areas, which are really not sensitive by any stretch of the word, it's not comparably justified in any sense. Also, the panel made quite a bit out of a school ban on carry in 1824, but actually that was not a ban for carrying at schools. It was a ban on students carrying. It was not a ban against faculty or other adults carrying, staff members. So it's not relevant at all, and certainly should not be applied to libraries. Or the CRPA's opinion pointed out that applying that same rationale, where, you know, because you find libraries in a school, library bans are okay, it could be applied to anything, including those sensitive places that the panel didn't like, where it upheld the injunction, which were several areas such as banks, medical offices, and the like. So it's Alice in Wonderland. It doesn't make any sense, and CRPA's brief does a pretty good job of pointing that out. I also link in that article to a previous article, a blog post I made immediately after the panel decision, with some further analysis. Basic idea is that, you know, under Bruin and even Rahimi, current Supreme Court authority does not allow a gun regulation to define sensitive places so broadly as to preclude self-defense where an individual has not been adjudicated to be a danger. Okay, so in addition to those posts, I've got several business-related posts for my estate planning clients that own businesses. Should I buy a franchise? Buying a business with real estate? Cannabis? Does your business need to update its policies and procedures? Hiring family members to work for your business? Exit strategies for business owners? Updated I-9 requirements? Remote verification of employees? How to protect minority LLC member rights? Why are corporate formalities important? Does your company need a shareholder agreement? Should you form more than one LLC for your business? What to do if your business is in distress? What you need to know about equipment leases? Can you draft your own contracts using AI? What is an LLC distribution? And should you convert your sole proprietorship to an LLC? All right, thank you. Check for the articles at lawnews.tv and download the podcast at protect.fm. Thank you.